Normally when I speak at a English-speaking church, nobody knows Spanish, so I greet them in Spanish because that's foreign and cool, right? Well, you guys, most of you speak Spanish, so I greeted you in Nobere, which is the native language of the indigenous people we work with. Kubukwindego is good morning. Ngubu is the name of God. And Madimigai is may he give you strength. So good morning. May God give you strength. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles, if you would, with me to Book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. We'll look at a couple verses here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. If you would, please stand with me just for the reading of these verses. I'd like for all of you to join me together reading this, these three verses in unison. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. Lord God, we love you this morning. We thank you, God, for your goodness to us, though it is undeserved. Lord, for your mercy and grace this morning. We thank you for what you have done for us in the past, what you do for us this morning in giving us the freedom of being able to be here this morning to honor and glorify your name with song and hymn. And Lord, also to be able to read your word freely. We thank you, Lord, for that. And Lord, the awesome responsibility that comes with that. We shudder, Lord, to think of that. But we thank you, Lord, for the great privilege that it is to be called your redeemed ones and your children. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us this morning. I pray that you would work in us as you work through us as well. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for your help. We'll be coming back to that verse, so if you would like to mark that or whatever, you may do so. It's a verse that we've heard many times that we can ponder, and a lot of you might be able to quote those three verses. But I'm not your typical preacher or missionary in more than one way. I think my wife would agree. But I have dyslexia, so I have a really hard time reading, and college was, school was very hard. But God has gifted me in another way. I love to see how things work. I have a mechanical mind, and God has blessed me that way. So reason I mention that is because when I read scripture, some things don't make sense to me. And because they don't work. They don't work physically. Like, for example, this verse that says, "You're the light of the world." Say, what? What does this mean? When I read this verse, that's the question that comes to mind. What does this mean? So, literally, just looking at it, literally, if we were to turn off the lights in here, we would all be glowing and there'd be plenty of light in here because there's a bunch of Christians. You're the light of the world. We should be glowing. Why is no one glowing? Why is no one giving off light? Well, I thought, well, maybe they got it wrong in the translation. So let me go back and look in the translation. See, no, they got it right. Light means light. So what in the world does it mean to be the light of the world? And that's what I want to answer for you this morning. Because we know this verse, but I don't know if we all know the concept. We all know the truth behind the verse, what it means to be light. And if you're like me, this will make a lot of sense. And if you're not, just bear with me and say amen so I keep going, all right? So you're the light of the world. We're going to use a preaching principle here. We're going to go to the first mention principle of this back in Genesis. So go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. That's the first time that light is ever mentioned. Now, I'd like to set the stage before we read verse 3. I'd like to set the stage of what's happening here in verse 3. Nothing exists, okay? Nothing exists. Only God. God is the only being, the only thing that exists, air, space, nothing exists. So God is about to create the universe and everything in it that we know and all the things we don't know. All right, so God is fixing to create everything. Now, what would be the first thing he would build? You? Me? No. The earth, right? It's the most important one. That's where we live. No. I know the sun. It's the center of our solar system. No. Well, maybe space, air. Maybe he would create that first. No. Obviously, due to the title of the message, light, you know what the answer is. He creates light first. I just want to show that to you. It says there in verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said, let there be light. There was light. Nothing exists, and the first thing that he creates is light. Does that not strike you as interesting, as odd, as important? That the first thing in the universe he would create is light. I mean, he exists. There's no sun, moon, and stars. Nothing else exists but light he creates first, before anything else. Before any planets, stars, anything, he creates light. And it is very important. We'll see why as we progress through the message. I want you to understand two things due to this fact that God created light. First is that light is of divine origin, okay? When we talk about light in Matthew chapter 5, we're not talking about something that you and I can muster. We're not talking about something that your pastor can give you. We're not talking about something that you can go and concentrate and create more light in yourself. You can't do that. Why? Because light is of divine origin. So if you are to be light, you got that light from God. All right, we are just like the moon. We have no light in and of ourselves. There is nothing good in and of yourself. In and of me, there is no good. All right, so if there is something good in me this morning, if there is something good in you this morning, it's because God put it there. Light is of divine origin. And secondly, I want you to understand that it's the flip side of that. Light is not of human origin. I'm just reiterating the point that if my salvation came from a person, if light had been passed to me from a person, then my light would depend on that person's holiness. You see, if you were led to the Lord by a pastor, and then 10 years, 15, 20 years down the road, Lord forbid that person were to fall, what happens to your faith? What happens to your light? Because that person had given to you, and he was the giver of your light, then your light has now come out. But since light is of divine origin, that can't happen. Because God is the giver of light, and he is the one who sustains us through all. So second point, first is light is given of God. Light is of divine origin. Second point, verse number 4. Verse 4 says, and God saw the light, that it was what? Good. God saw the light, that it was good. Now, I heard a definition of sin some time ago, and it is that sin is when we start to call good what God has not called good. You'll see through all of creation, God creates something and then calls it good. God creates something and then calls it good. You keep reading, and then Eve comes along and grabs the forbidden fruit, and she called it good. When we start to decide what is good for us instead of taking what God said is good for us, that's a problem. That's when sin starts to creep in. But here, keeping with this verse, it says, God saw the light that it was good. Matthew chapter 5 calls us light. So if light is good and we are light, then we are to be good. Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is what? Sin. If you know something is good and you don't do it, it's sin. Plain and simple. It's just the way it is. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. This verse right here, Matthew 5, 44, comes after Matthew 5, 14 through 16 that we read, where Jesus says for us to be light. And it says here that we are to do good to them who hate you. This concept of blessing someone who curses you, praying for your enemies, doing good to them that hate you, this is impossible for you. It is impossible for me, because no good thing dwelleth within us. This is only possible if God abides in us. Why? Because he is the one who gives the light. He is the one who makes this impossibility possible for you and me to love someone who hates us, to do good to someone who hates us. It is impossible for you and me of ourselves to do that, but God is who makes that possible in us. Look at the rest of verse 4, seeing our third point here. The rest of verse 4 says, the whole verse says, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided. He divided the light from the darkness. God divided the light from darkness. So point number one is light is of divine origin. Second, light is and does good. Third, light is to be separate from darkness. Light is to be separate from darkness. Now, remember, nothing exists. God creates light first. He then pronounces the first truth, universal truth, that exists about creation, that light is good. And then he says, and that which is good should be separate from darkness. Now, later on in the Bible, God says that he creates darkness. He created the darkness. Based on what we read in Genesis, in the creation, and based on this principle, I believe that what darkness is and what it is referring to there in Isaiah when it says that is that darkness is created by God creating the light, and darkness is the absence of which he created, therefore creating darkness. You can't know what darkness is unless you know what light is. Okay? So God gave us light. God gave us the light of his Son. God gave us the light of the Son as well. And now we know what the opposite is, and that's darkness. That's the absence of what God has created. And God said, established a division, the first division. Nothing else exists in the world yet. And God divides something that he created from the rest of it. Now, what we can take from this, look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The light came to the world, and we didn't recognize it. We didn't love it. Why? Because our deeds were evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, ye are children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We are children of light. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? You see, all of those verses point back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, when God says, light is good and it is to be separate from darkness. Now, do I need to drive this all the way home? We are light and the world is darkness. You should live a separate life. Oh, brother, we need to build a wall and all move inside and never go out. No, no, it's not what I'm saying. But we should, when we are out in the world, we should continue to be light. Our life should reflect the light that lives within us. Not to do so is sin. We already saw that. If you know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin. We should be light all the time wherever we are, and we'll see that a little further. Now, the fourth point we're going to dwell on a little longer. We're going to go over to Genesis chapter 1, verse 17. Look at that verse for me. Genesis chapter 1, verse 17. Now, in verse 16, God makes the sun, moon, and stars, okay? But in verse 17, I want you to follow along the words with me. It says, and God set them, that's talking about the sun, moon, and stars, in the firmament of heaven to what? To give. Pause on that word for just a second, to give. Now, I don't know. I estimate there's about 150, 170 people in here this morning. What would happen if 170 people came into a room all wanting to get something, all wanting to get something? Now, it sounds really good. Man, I'm ready to go this morning and get something at church. That sounds good, but let me caution you with that. I believe that we have been programmed from our childhood in this world, in their society, to be receivers and takers. What would happen if every last one of us came to church wanting to get something? Would anybody get anything? No one. Why? Everybody's ready to receive. Well, who's doing the giving? But what would happen if the opposite happened? What if 170 people all came into a room wanting to give something? How many would be able to get something? Everyone. Why? Because you're around 170 givers. You can't help but receive because everybody's giving. What would happen if we woke up in the morning and say, I am ready. I have prepared myself this week. I have prepared my heart. I have prepared myself, and I'm going to go to church and I'm going to give of myself. There's that missionary talking about giving. I knew he'd work it in there somehow. No. Yes, if you have some money you need to give, I can help you with that. But I'm talking about giving of yourself, giving your time. Sometimes the easiest thing to do is give money. But what about giving of your heart, giving of your love, giving of your time, giving of your attention, giving of your affection, serving? Ask not what you can do for your country, but what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Well, ask not what you can, what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. I heard one time of a man who went to join a church, and he went to the pastor, and he said, Pastor, here's my family. This one can do this. This one can do this. This one can do this. And I can do this. This is the studies I've had, blah, blah, blah. How can my family serve the church? The pastor was speechless. Normally, it's, hey, Pastor, what programs do you have to offer my family? Right? But what if we all approached our life, our Christian life, like that? God set the sun, moon, and stars in the heavens not to receive, but to give. God set you in this world to be a sun, moon, or star. God set you in here to be light. And you were placed here, you were left here to be giver, to be a giver, not a receiver. So God set you there to be giver. Now, the rest of the verse says to give light upon the earth, to give light upon the earth. Now, to round out the rest of that concept of giving light, did you know that light affects every single surface that it touches? That is phenomenal. You stop and think, oh, brother, light doesn't affect pavement. Yes, it sure does. It warms it up. Light affects every single surface that it touches very quickly, very, very quickly. When light touches the oceans, warms them up, and part of that water evaporates. Now, all the warming of the oceans and all that it gets so complicated, so far beyond me. But all of the circulation of the oceans and all that, we have weather and all of that stuff because of the warming and the cooling of the oceans. So light does a lot there that I can't, not able to explain. But this is very simple. Light warms up the ocean. Some of that water evaporates. That's easy to understand. It goes up into the skies like clouds. The change of air happens and the clouds end up over land and they go higher and it gets cooler. And it condenses, and we have rain because of light. We got rain because of light. How many of us can live without water? We have rain because of light. All right. When light touches any plant, these are all fake, but if they were real, when light touches the leaf of a plant, all you that have been to school know what happens. Oxygen carbon dioxide. It goes into the plant and nutrients and water and all this magical thing called photosynthesis takes place inside the leaves and out comes oxygen because of light. We have oxygen because of light. So we have water because of light and we have oxygen because of light. Do you know your body is not able to absorb certain vitamins and minerals unless it has other vitamins and minerals? One of those is vitamin D. Your body can't absorb calcium and vitamin C. Vitamin C without vitamin D. You have to have vitamin D. So if you have a cold, you know what you need to do? You need to take some vitamin C supplements, but you know what? In order for your body to be able to use that, you know what you need? Guess, take a wild guess. You need light. You need sun rays on your skin because your skin produces vitamin D, but you have to have sunlight on your skin. Your skin has a change, is affected with the light of the sun. It is absolutely amazing. The rays of the earth, the rays of the sun warm the earth, and that's what keeps us from freezing when we're on the other side of the earth and we're away from the warmth of the sun. The cold of space doesn't freeze us at night because the earth was warmed by the sun. So the light changes every surface that it touches. What in the world does this science class have to do with Christian walk, with Christian life? I'm about to show you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 6. Also, have you guys ever tried an apple that was really sweet on one side and a little tart on the other side? You guys know what happens? Why that does that? There's a brand in the store called Sunkissed. You know what that is? That's because that side that's been exposed to the sun is sweeter because the sun kissed it. The sun's rays ripened that side more, and it's sweeter on the side that the sun was hitting it. It's absolutely phenomenal. Light changes every surface that it touches. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 through 6 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds to them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." The light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the light of God that abides within us. I'm sorry, verse 6 says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God to the face of Jesus Christ." So the light of God that is within us is abiding within us, and we are to be the light of the world. Now, if the light of God that's in us changes every surface that it touches, then that is what's happening when you go and you're light. What does that mean to be light? It means to do good. That's what being light is to do good. What does it mean to be light? It means to be different, to be separate from darkness. That's what it means. It means to be different. What is light? What does being light mean? Light means to recognize that you were placed here and put here by God in order to be a giver in the world. God has placed you here to be light in order that you can change lives around you. Now, the light that is within us does not warm the earth. It does not make water or oxygen. But the light that is within us changes the souls of men. That is why God has placed us in the world and told us to be light. He has given us the light of life to take into the world and to preach and to teach and to share with other people. Why? Because they need it. They live in darkness. How will they know unless someone goes and preaches the gospel? Romans chapter 10. How can they possibly know about God in whom they've not believed? How can they call in him in whom they've not believed? How can they believe unless they hear? How can they hear unless there's a preacher? And how can there be a preacher unless he be sent? Is what the passage says. But we need to be able to go and be faithful and being light and being different and being a giver. And those things change the lives of the people around us. You say, "But brother, I have a neighbor, and he's been my neighbor for 20-some years. And I've witnessed to him, and I've done things. I've been nice to him. I've done all the things you say, and he's not saved yet. He's not. I've invited him to church. He even came once to church, and he's still not saved, and he's not accepted. Your philosophy is flawed." I don't believe my philosophy is flawed because it's not mine. It's Bible. I didn't write the Bible. I'm just preaching it to you. What happens is the formula is not complete. The light's not getting to the person. Let me show you what I mean. In John chapter 13, verse 4 and 5, this is Jesus in the upper room with the disciples, and verse 4 says, He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the feet of the disciples' feet, and wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, you go on in that verse, and we have, he comes to Peter. Peter says, "You are not going to wash my feet. You're never going to wash my feet." And look at verse 8. It says, "Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And Peter's like, "Whoa, Jesus, whoa, whoa, What do you mean? This is just foot washing here. This is a custom. My feet are dirty. They're not. Nobody's here to wash our feet. That's okay. But you're not. If you don't wash my feet, I have no part with you. Well, then he says, okay, well, then if it's like that, then bathe me all, not only my feet, but my head and my hands as well. And Jesus says, no, you don't understand. Now, Jesus is teaching two principles here. First is, in order to be a good leader, you need to be a good servant. But the other principle that he brings out as well is that in order for us to be used of God, we need to be clean. We need to be clean. And if there's a sin in your life that you're keeping there as a pet sin, Jesus says to you, you have no part with me. Ah, brother, you teaching loss of salvation? No, I'm not. I'm teaching loss of communion, loss of fellowship. Jesus told Peter, I need to wash your feet. You're dirty. And if you don't cleanse yourself, if you don't let me cleanse you, then you have no fellowship with me. I can't have fellowship with you if you're dirty. Well, this morning, Jesus says the same thing to you and me. Jesus wants to fill us up with his spirit and use us and let the light of his glory flow over to the people around us. And why are people not getting saved when they're around us? Because there's sin in our life and God will not use a dirty vessel. You might be saved this morning. For many years, I lived with a sin in my life. And that sin I let stay because I believed a lie. I believed the lie. It was a thought. I had a thought in my mind that was a sin. And I believed that it was okay because nobody's perfect. And nobody is perfect. Every last person in here sins. Nobody's perfect. That was my excuse. I'm going to let that sin stay there because no one's perfect. And then I heard a message about the unbelieving believer, and that was me. I believed in God. I believed I had faith. I was saved. But I didn't confess that one sin, and there wasn't victory in my life until I said, okay, Lord, that's it. No sin will stay in my life as a habit. I will keep no pet sins in my life. And I confessed that sin, and I've been free from that sin from that day on. And I lived years with that, believing that I couldn't get rid of it. I would cry at an altar, and, oh, Lord, forgive me, knowing that the next day I would go do it again, or go think the same thought again. What I'm telling you this morning is that God wants to use you to cause a difference in this world, but we need to be clean vessels for God to use us. What did God tell the Israelites before crossing over the River Jordan? He told them through Joshua, cleanse yourself, for tomorrow God will work wonders among you. But he said to cleanse yourself, purify yourself, sanctify yourself. For tomorrow the Lord will work wonders among you. Had they not sanctified themselves, God would not have worked wonders among them. Do you want God to work wonders among you and among your church, among your family? Oh, yes. Well, then sanctify yourself so that the light of life that God has placed within you will have its effect in the lives of the people around you. Let's pray. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for your goodness this morning. We thank you for the light that you have placed within us that is everlasting and that it comes from you that is perfect. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. I pray that you would bless this message in the hearts of each person who heard it, God, and I pray that you would make each and every one of us obedient to your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
I hope that was a blessing for you and to you. And, you know, I couldn't help but think of